Chapter 3. Tuesday, May 15th, 2:05 p.m. Sandy O'Grady took the S-curves of the residential street at 45 miles per hour. The tires of her loyal Oldsmobile squealed their protest, but she didn't notice. Her hands were tight on the wheel. Her blue eyes were locked forward. All around her, people were running, sprinting out of their houses, charging down the neat little sidewalks, their faces white with shock, their mouths already yelling the grim news to their neighbors. They carried first aid kits and blankets, towels and water bottles, and anything else they thought might be of use. Sandy screeched around the next corner, hit a speed bump hard, and finally had to brake. Just as well. Two blocks from the school, the street was clogged with hastily parked automobiles and frantic parents. Sandy drove halfway up the sidewalk, slammed her Olds into park, and joined the fray. So much noise. Walt's old ambulance braying. Children crying, Mommy, Daddy, parents screaming children's names. She heard police sirens and revving engines. She heard a sharp, loud keening, as if the soul had been ripped from a mother's heart, and her own blood went cold. This couldn't be happening. Not in Bakersville. Not in her children's school. Oh, God, couldn't someone make this all go away? She waded through the sea of people and cars. She didn't know where to go. She just kept slogging toward the school, trying to get closer. Where were her children? Where was her husband? Wouldn't someone tell her what to do? Up ahead, she saw a police officer in a Cabot County uniform. He seemed to be simultaneously ushering people away from the school building and asking who was in charge. No one had an answer for him. Parents just wanted to find their children. Sandy finally arrived at the chain-link fence that surrounded the schoolyard. She pressed herself against it, peering into the parking lot, where she could now see children stretched out on the blacktop, some holding cold compresses to their heads, others lifting scraped elbows and knees to be bandaged. Five adults were manning the makeshift first aid station, using emergency kits and towels as fast as other people handed them in. Sandy recognized Susan Miller, Johnny's mom, and a nurse at Cabot Hospital. She saw Rachel Green, the head of the PTA and a stay-at-home mom, wrapping an 8-year-old's wrist. She saw Dan Jensen, the town vet, hunched over a boy whose jeans were caked with blood. Sandy could just make out the hole ripped through the tough fabric. The boy had been shot in the leg.